Uh-oh.
Oh, that's, that was bad.
Again, this animation
this,
is, so
this is like anime, dude. It's what so the hell? Bad. This is Dragon Ball Z.
This is Marvel versus Capcom, is what this
oh
is.
I got my own God telepathic power. Oh,
oh shit.
She
oh
goes, she says, give me a second.
I gotta call my boo.
I gotta call your daddy. Call your daddy.
Get your kid out of here. Oh, no. Oh. Oh, no.
Oh, and like oh that, and brutal just like that.
It's a wrap. Been in a lot of wars, Bob. Been in a lot of wars.
Ooh, I'm gonna
respect. Uh-oh. You don't want to see the glow on Wolverine. Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Good Lord. What the hell did you do? Not to my boy.
Hey, bro.
Oh, no. Welcome back to the After Show here on The Break Room, this time for X-Men 97, Episode 9, Tolerance is Extinction, Part 2. Will there be a Part 3? I think there will. Hit that graphic!
Fully agree.
Just fuck them, dude.
Is that not it?
Okay, I caught all of them that time.
What
is that? Is that, okay, that's the
that's
X-Files.
Ours. This is ours.
That's not the X-Files, that's ours.
That's just the
X-Men.
Ours?
The X-Men.
Oh, I thought it looked like the X-Files. Oh,
X-Files has a green light, doesn't it?
I don't remember.
Well, how are we still figuring this out, and this is like our ninth week of doing this?
Maybe we'll get to the bottom of it.
I think I got them all. I saw, okay, Game of Thrones.
It's the same every time,
I know, but it feels like, you know the Roku
Loki
thing?
It was a Loki one?
You yeah know how the Roku screen, you like trying to figure out all the yeah movies? So, you know what, go ahead, I'm not
playing. Really, Jessica, you're not cultured.
Well, we've only got one more episode of this show, and how is it going to end? We'll get into all those questions and more. I'm Brandon Barrick, and joining me today, the woman who feels like she's been run over by a hay baler fixed with a jet engine, it's Jessica Clemens.
Hi, I wrote that for myself. Brandon did not just say that to make me look
Rogue
bad.
Said it in
Rogue,
the episode.
No, Rogue said it in the episode.
Oh, you're letting the audience know.
I'll say right now, you guys, Evan is out today. So me and Brandon had the adventure of writing the script, and you will know which parts I wrote.
Also joining us today, we have the man who promised a boy a future free of fear, only to watch his frightened eyes be vaporized inside his skull. It's Jay Washington. That line.
That's the line. That's the one they gave.
Who wrote that?
Put the damn camera back on me. That's the one they gave me. Out of all the lines in his whole episode. Thanks, Jess. I appreciate you.
I want you to know that I wrote that one, and I made alts just in case, and Brandon said, no, go with the first one.
I like that one.
Brandon said, go with the first one.
I didn't want to be like, Jay, I got two words for you. Shut up.
That's the YouTube comments anyway. They're always like, he talks too much. Yeah, that's what I do.
We'll get into about how even more X-Men died this episode and how this season is going to end. But first, Jessica, kick us off with a recap of this episode.
Harumph. It's the Diet Coke, it's getting to me. Charles is back at the X mansion and Magneto has successfully shut down the human sentinels and prepares for war with anyone in his way. All the while, Bastion prepares for war with the X-Men after mourning the death of his mother.
Oh, come on.
Why are you laughing about this?
Well, he oh, come on.
She's a bad lady.
First off, not only was that woman technically a racist, but she...
Oh, technically, yes. Yeah.
But also, it's like, he did that to her. So why are you mourning something that you did? Yeah. You could have also not made her a sentinel. You could have made her just a normal human.
Was like, oh, I'll have my robot mom forever. And yes, she barely lasted a couple hours.
I guess.
That protocol got activated and she got deactivated. Yeah. So, you know.
Okay, I guess. Jubilee and Roberto are ambushed by an angry mob of the Friends of Humanity after many people believe the mutants to be the cause of all the destruction. Luckily, they're saved by Forge and Storm, who are back in action after being in action. You know what I'm saying.
They're like, sorry, I'm like, oh, I'm wearing Storm's cape.
Oh my God, this is just that. Forge got the crown on. We're sorry, we were role playing.
Sorry.
Forge, this is yours. Oh, sorry, baby.
Give me my leg back.
Give me my leg back.
Okay. Jean and Scott don't trust Xavier's actions or his support for Magneto leading the X-Men and taking over the X-Mansion. They're the first in this episode of many people who have been hurt by Xavier's actions, aka faking his death, getting married, and standing by while everyone died on Genosha.
I thought you were just going to say
standing. Yeah, just standing. Straight up standing. He wakes up in bed and he's like, oh, yeah. I don't got my bird lady or my robot legs. Well, Rogue wakes up and regrets killing Trask. When Nightcrawler tells her he kind of survived, she's a little happy. She's like, oh, she kind of is in like a big night out of drinking, only yeah. It was like rage. She was like, oh, I didn't kill him, did he? He's like, no, he's technically, he kind of survived. However, she's back to being a saddy baddie when she remembers that Remy is still, in fact, dead. Sorry. He didn't come back. She's like, this is a comic book, right? He's back to life already?
Well, it was also Nightcrawler being like, he survived, also, so did. And
yeah,
then she
he
goes,
was going to say Magneto.
Yeah, and she goes,
not that dick.
So the X-Men have a small reunion with Beast so excited to see Forge. They're dapping up. And Jean and Aurora flying into each other's arms. Ugh. Forge brags about how his prosthetics were not affected by Magneto because he set it up with an electrostatic deflector, reminding us that Forge can create almost anything from an idea. So maybe he can do Beast's job, because Beast is not good at his job. I'm sorry, Beast is not good at his job.
And then the time they finally create something, he needed Forge there to do it. So.
And then we found out earlier, as soon as they did create it, somebody was like, oh no, the hell
oh,
you
no,
don't.
You don't.
Oh no, you
That's
don't.
That's Brandon's probably favorite moment. God,
Magneto sending that worldwide magnetic pulse disabled all the Prime Sentinels, but also disabled all the electronics on Earth. Not so great. We learned that all the first world countries are like in chaos, basically. Mm-hmm. The third world countries were always in chaos, and they remain. Well, it's funny how Scott's like, all the first world countries are in. It's like, Scott, what about every other country?
Why did he say that specifically? He did say like, the first world countries have been sent back centuries. And I was like,
I think you're just letting the audience know that everything's...
No, let me tell you something. For as much as mutants want to help humanity, that was really like classes. Was like, hey, just the first world countries that we really give a shit about.
Now that the first world countries are in trouble...
This is really a problem.
Listen, we got to do something.
Oh, you know that jungle in the middle
of
the...
Listen, we haven't been to Darfur, but now that the first worlds are wrapped up in this, we're going to show
up. You been to Nepal recently? I don't know about it. You're like, what?
I don't know about it.
That magnetic pulse that Magneto made is also killing the Earth's magnetic field. Storm's like, things are bad. So the X-Men must convince Magneto to reverse the damage on Earth before it's permanent. Storm gives us a countdown of like until sunset.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys just keep flying around the world so the Earth never, so the sun never.
Is that how it works?
No. That's not how it works.
I had to ask because I was like, wait, is that simple? Brandon's very smart, so I trust a lot of things he says, especially if I don't know science.
That's like a line Remy would have said. Remy would have been like, well, we just get in the plane and keep flying so the sun never sets.
Well, when you say it like that, now it sounds
stupid. That's how a real stupid say like this.
Forge explains that Bastion is controlling all the Sentinels as a technopath, and with the help of Beast, they repurpose a collar that was used to stop Jean as the Dark Phoenix back in the original animated series. The collar will sever Bastion's control over the Prime Sentinels so that they can hopefully undo the goo and turn the people back into regular people. Mm-hmm. So it seems like maybe some people were involuntarily turned into Prime Sentinels. I don't know.
No, it looked like everybody signed up.
I don't know. Beast is sitting by Trish Toby's bedside being like, oh, poor Trish.
I think he still loves her knowing that she did it.
She's the first person that was going to give him some.
I think we can assume that some people maybe didn't sign up for this. I don't know.
I'm on your side, but you should stick with yours because Gina last episode was like, no, everyone did sign up for
it. I think
we still need that argument for someone for that.
With this collar, they all, you know, Beast brings up, oh, we could use like the power neutralizing abilities. And Storm is like, oh, no, you didn't. We're not using that.
She made it thunder real quick. Was like
her eyes like...
Beast was like, oh.
He's like, oh, my stars and goddess. I'm so sorry.
I also like how Beast, Beast made that. And then I'm like, Beast, you were also the one that told her she would never get her powers back.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Why would you even make that
conclusion?
Why would you
be
a bad doctor, Beast?
Yeah. You're supposed to do it, right? You don't say it while she's there.
You wait till she's in the room. He's like, hey, put some of that power in the room.
You know.
This shit works great.
So then out of nowhere, Magneto in his original uniform and pissed off comes bringing in good old Asteroid M that he rolls from out the ocean.
What a flex. What a flex.
Some ships came in and Magneto was like, well, I'm done with this shit. And then he had it fly above the X-Men and criticized Xavier for disappearing when he needed him most. Then he offers the X-Men a new goal and a future alongside him. He's like, hey, come rule with me in a new Genosha. And probably hurt more humans because they deserve it. They don't give a damn. Now, here's the thing. Rogue and Roberto, a.k.a. Sunspot, make that deal and join him because Sunspot was like, yo, my mama put me in a collar, bro. Yeah. You can't tell me nothing no more.
Which feels so, like, I was like, come on, Roberto. But then I was like, sacrifices
That's
you.
Once your mom sacrificed. And then Rogue was like, listen, I made a promise. and then I can get some in the meantime. I've been sleeping horny, so I'm going to go ahead. Think about it. Look, she loved Remy. She also loves Magnus, and Magnus gives her that electromagnetism.
Stop it. I do love Roberto when they're in the mansion. Roberto's like, yo, where the fuck were you, Xavier? I wanted Xavier to be like, who the fuck is this?
How'd you get a suit,
who
bro?
Who gave this man a suit?
Who gave him a suit?
Who gave him a suit? Now, Xavier has a conversation with President Kelly where Kelly mentions the Magneto Protocols, which is set up for this exact sort of crisis. And he and many civilians don't trust Xavier no more because the man faked his death.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said this on several episodes back. Rewind the tape. Xavier fakes his death. The X-Men covered it and Gyrick got framed.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Gyrick did shoot him. He wasn't framed.
I mean, but he
Gyrick deserves to go to jail.
Yeah, but he didn't murder him.
He didn't. I guess, for murder. Yeah,
that's the thing.
That's a good point. His case will get thrown out.
Yeah, but even though he ain't got no life. Anyway.
I saw this movie. It's called Double Jeopardy.
What year did that come out?
It was in the 90s. Wasn't that an Ashley Judd joint? Was that an Ashley Judd joint? Double Jeopardy?
Not for talking about white women's movies. Xavier argued with President Kelly, if you don't trust me, trust my X-Men. And I really want one of these X-Men to be like, hey, bro, we grow.
Dude, we'll get it. I expected a lot more out of Xavier.
Yeah.
X-Men suit up and head out, and they go to Muir Island, and they get the classic uniforms.
Yeah.
So you get Forge, Storm, Jean, Cable, Morph, and Beast all on Team Gold up against Bastion. And then Wolverine, Scott, Kurt, and Xavier and the blue team take on Magneto before the team part ways. We get an incredible exchange from Jean and Storm. Hey, make them mind your weather, sister. Mm. And she said, make them weather your mind.
Make them weather your mind.
You know, whichever writer in the writer's room came up with that one.
Got him.
They were flipping over tables.
Here's a $400 gift card. Yeah, Target.
They were like, we're done for the day.
And then weather your mind.
Make them
I said,
weather
stop.
Your mind.
I said, stop. Stop this right now. I was like,
Now, Bastion awakens the Sentinels, and the gang are doing great initially. Initially, like, Storm using her lightning to destroy the Sentinel machines. Forge is flying one of the Blackbirds. It's looking so cute. It's like, oh, look at them together. Then this shit get blasted down. And so she is like, oh, that's going to happen. Morph turns into the one person we've probably been wanting to see for the longest, the Hulk.
Yeah.
And Morph smashes the Sentinels with a little bit of help from Jean. Beast slaps the Sentinel with his own hand. Listen, I understand it's 1997, but that was the perfect insert for what's five fingers saying in the face? That would have been perfect. And it was all good until Mr. Sinister shows up and harasses Jean.
Ugh, God. Mr. Sinister sucks. I said sucks. Sucks. Okay, Magneto fights Wolverine until Rogue stops him, and Jubilee takes on Roberto, leaving Magneto and Xavier to yell it out. And it's probably my favorite part because Magneto tells Xavier,
Shut up!
It's so, good. You thought, he's been saying quotes this entire episode, this entire season, and then he just says, shut up. Ugh. And I'm like,
They never just have a regular conversation on how you feel about the weather, brother. No, never. I'm just good. They're like, Magnus, but we have to make a future for humans and Metro.
He said, shut up! Shut up! He's stopped by Cyclops blasting him, and then Morph tries to disguise themselves as Mr. Sinister, but Bastion sees right through it, and Beast comes to assist and is immediately detained by Bastion, who then takes the collar. Sinister then takes control of Cable, who uses telekinetic powers to defeat Jean, presumably killing her, maybe? We don't know. We'll get into it later. In her blast, she bids farewell to Scott, saying, I love you.
That was heart-wrenching.
Because you got to remember, his blast is not just from Madeline, Jean, however you want to go. Mm-hmm. It's part his dad, too.
Oh, that's true. That's
He's
true.
Got the concussive blast that's from his true. Dad as well
Does
as
Does he
Jean.
Open up a portal to make the blast?
I don't know what he opens up.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know if he busting it open to make a portal.
It was cool to see Cable use telekinetic powers because he doesn't. I don't think he does it much in the original series.
No, he does. He only uses his blaster,
big old gun,
and he just uses the computer in his arm. Right, so you think that's really it?
Yeah.
So again, to the people in the comment sections, they say they read the comic books but didn't remember what. Because again, you don't see Cable use his power set that often.
Yeah.
And remember, the one big thing Jean and Scott will Madeline. Gene, whatever, semantics, that they wanted to know was Cable going to be human or mutant? Mm-hmm. And she really didn't know what he was until, like, that moment.
Right.
When he was like, oh, you the truth.
Yeah.
And Xavier's had enough and tries to take control of Magneto's mind to repair Earth's magnetic field, but is stopped by Cyclops because he knows that Team Gold needs more time to stop Bastion before Earth is repaired. Magneto's pissed, but then Wolverine does the deed and stabs the man.
Oh my God.
Shivs him like prison rules.
While Magneto puts his helmet on Charles's head and is crushing
it like an orange, like a little can.
I did love Wolverine like stabbing Magneto, but being like, it's the bravest to die first. Like kind of acknowledging that Magneto is brave and like what you're doing is kind of right and I'm with you, dude. But like this isn't
not the right way.
This isn't the time.
Hey, and he's Rogue been with everybody. Remember when Rogue dropped Gyrick off? He was like, hey, I mean Trask, he was like, hey.
And like Wolverine's like, I'm the one that I'll kill you, dude. Like and it was just kinda like everyone stops because they're like, oh, we could kill Magneto. Like that's something
that's
we could
possible?
Do.
That's
possible? That was on the table.
This is like the Joker being like, we kill the Batman.
Yeah.
It's like, kill him.
The way to kill Magneto is by surprise.
Yeah.
It always will have to be because he will stop you before you reach him. And that's just what happened. It kind of was a sucker punch.
Right.
Kind of
from the behind.
From the back, get stabbed like a shiv. Yeah. Again, prison rules, bitch. But it ain't... But it ain't enough to stop Magnus, and in his retaliation, he pulls Wolverine's adamantium out of his body, and that scene is like completely taken from the comic book. It's horrible. He's bent backwards, and that like
shouts out.
You see the ripples in his body.
Xavier knows what's about to happen. Yeah. He like Magnus, don't do it.
For the love of God, please don't.
Because that's crazy. Because like no other X-Men, nobody else around knew what was about to happen. Xavier was like, oh shit.
It was
insane.
I kind of like how it was animated, and then when it's happening, it was like a freeze frame.
It's a freeze frame.
It was like it's kind of like different layers moving.
Yeah, the adamantium coming out.
They didn't want to show the physicality because it's so brutal.
In the comics, it's extremely graphic, and it's kind of somewhat the same way because they're fighting Wolverine and Magneto, and then somehow Wolverine gets off a sneak shot, and Magneto's like, "Yo, I'm sick of you and these metal, these metal, metal."
He goes,
right,
silly me.
In my last video that I did of explaining what Bastion is, I was going through like, oh, here's the comic book, this is the storyline that it looks like it's going across, and I was genuinely like, I don't think they will pull out his adamantium because this scene is so disgusting and horrible in the comics. Why would I want to see that in an animated series? And then at the end of the episode, I was like, well,
nope, they did
it. Put in my mouth. They did it.
Yeah, a lot of this was taken from like the Fatal Attraction story arc in the X-Men. It was like around like 25. Bo DeMay on Twitter said like X-Men 25 is one of his favorite. And I think that's the one where they pull out
He posts a lot. So what he's been doing, what Bo DeMay has been doing every week, he'll say, here's your homework.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So he'll post the different, you know, the different issues and arcs to let you know what to read.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of have an idea. So again, everybody saw it was Fatal Attraction. Everybody's like, yo, like you said, they're not going.
Yeah. Dude. They did it.
Okay.
The Mad Lads did it. Well, before we get into other questions, what are some of your other favorite moments from this episode you want to mention?
My favorite part of this episode is just, it stays. I love Magneto's dialogue so much. Mm-hmm. They wrote him so cunty, and I love everything about it. And when he's like, we're not gods, and he goes, gods abandon those who believe in them, mutants do not.
Oof.
And I was like, so Xavier's acting like a god, because he straight up left, and you're like, I'm a mutant. Yeah. You're acting like a fucking god.
I'm gonna stay here.
I just love any time he like serves a line that's like,
yeah,
shut the hell up.
I mean, you know, the battle sequences in each episode are usually the best part. It's been great to see a show really embrace the power set of the mutants and really let them go off. I mean, the Sinister Jean fight was just so good. Seeing Jean was always done dirty in the X-Men animated series.
Yeah.
Unless she was Phoenix. They let Phoenix be awesome. But Jean often was like fainting and like, oh, it's too heavy. Like her throwing like telekinetic slashes, throwing the bowling balls at Sinister was wild. Like all of that was nasty. And then even just like pulling in Scott, who's in the middle of a fight, being like, hey, come here real quick. I'm about to die. I love you.
I'm about to die.
Meanwhile, right before that, Scott was in the locker room being like, yeah, it's complicated with Jean and Madeline. I don't know. This woman said she loved you. And you still want to run off with Madeline. Now, granted, we all love the Goblin Queen. But, like, come on.
Settle down.
Come on. The Goblin Queen.
The Goblin Queen.
For me, of course, I think we all agree on the very last shot, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So good.
It's the Cable because the thing is, he's controlled
and
doesn't realize what he's doing.
Right.
And so that'll be the moment, because again, the conversation, like you said, with Scott and him about, yeah, she's not directly your mother.
Right.
But even Nightcrawler says, yo, like the feeling, he tells it to Jean, you felt everything.
Yeah, they don't know who's who, really. They don't know whose memories are whose.
Yeah, like you feel everything. So just take that. That's what makes you family. So when Cable realizes
what
he's done in this next episode, it's going to make him go crazy.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing Scott going to be able to say to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, Sinister being like, I can tell you when I switch the bodies.
I can tell
She's
you.
She's like, I don't want to know. It's like, we want to know.
Tell me, please.
Sinister did this with the bodies, like, dude. He just throwed it.
He thought it was funny.
I turned around. I don't even know myself. Hilarious. Well, before we get into the rest of the video, we wanted to thank some of our sponsors today. One of our sponsors for this week's episode is Marvel Move, a fitness app with immersive audio that makes you feel like you're running, walking, or jogging through your very own MCU film. Marvel Move is a fully featured fitness app with GPS run mapping, step tracking, and stats. But the really unique factor is that the motivation you'll get from progressing through thrilling original Marvel stories. I've been using Marvel Move myself. They have a little program that's like, essentially like a couch to 5K training program. Mm-hmm. It's done with Loki and Thor. Lots of fun characters show up in it. And like, it tracks, it gives you a little map of where you run, like how fast you're running. It does your splits and all that kind of stuff. But there's other storylines you can do too. There's like a Krakoa X-Men storyline where you're being chased by Sentinels and you have to like run faster or you'll get caught and you collect things as you go. And all of this kind of happens over your own music playlist. So you can be listening to your music and then just kind of pop in with little story beats.
Can you imagine you're being chased by Sentinels? Fuck it, I'm gonna die.
I mean, that did happen to me.
That's me.
I did not run fast for long enough. I got caught. So I'm dead. You're seeing your vision of the past. If you're entirely new to running and need a little structure and guidance, your Marvel Move subscription includes Thor and Loki's 5K training, what I was talking about. It's an 8-week long program that will train you to run your first 5K with 12 hours of audio drama. Plus, you'll get new workouts weekly with stories from A-list writers like Teenie Howard and Gary Duggan. Plus, more series and new characters arriving this summer in 2024. Download the ZRX app on iPhone and Android to try Marvel Move for 1 week for free. When you're ready to dive in, head to zrx.app/newrockstars and use coupon code newrockstars at checkout for 50% off your first month. It's really fun. Check it out. If you need help running like I do, if you're a bad runner, I'm a bad runner. We also want to thank today's sponsor, Mando, and especially their Loom full body deodorant. I think I have a stick of it right here. Yeah. Beautiful. Loom's been popular for a while now, which is why Mando is rolling out Loom for men. It's the same clinically proven doctor-developed formula, but in cologne quality scents for men like bourbon leather, pro sport, and Mount Fuji, the manliest of the mountains. Maybe K2?
Not to be confused with like Mount Everest.
Everest is a lady. Yeah. That's a beautiful lady mountain.
It's a beautiful lady. Nope, never heard that described. Beautiful lady mountain.
Beautiful lady mountain.
I think it is. It's a beautiful mountain that kills.
But Mount Fuji is a fucking man.
Mount Fuji's a man.
Fuji.
Sitting over Tokyo, dormant for generations.
Big dick Mount Fuji.
I blasted off Fuji centuries ago. I'm quiet now.
Stop. Get back to me.
A bunch of us started using Mando just because we had free product lying around from these sponsorships, but now we'll never go back. Mando is made with mandelic acid, an alpha hydroxy acid that blocks the sweat-eating bacteria on your skin from causing odor, so you don't even smell in the first place. And you can put it anywhere. Right now, I'm rocking some bourbon leather on my armpits. I put it on yesterday, and I still smell good. Not even worried about it. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get $5 off a Mando starter pack with code BREAKROOM at shopmando.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit shopmando.com and use code BREAKROOM. Finally, we want to remind you to check out nerdriot.shop. We've got a ton of X-Men-inspired designs right now, like our Gambit, remember it, shirt. We also have some Deadpool and Wolverine shirts on the site right now, and new merch coming all the time. We also have some Breakroom merch live on the site right now. You've seen us wearing it on the show before. You can get it for yourself. Grabbing some merch is the best way to support the channel, and there's tons of great designs on there. Check it all out over at nerdriot.shop. Okay. Let's talk more about this episode, folks.
Questions.
How is this season going to end? Okay. We know that season two is already written. It's probably close to being finished with animation.
Yeah.
We'll hopefully see it next year. I don't know. So how much of what we're seeing now do we think will be undone by the end of this season. And we know they're going to do a season three of this show, right? When this season was kind of first popping off, I was like, oh, they're going to do a time travel thing and undo a lot of this. Anymore. I don't think so. No. We've only got one more episode. I don't think...
Like, Gambit stays dead.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see Gambit come back, no, right?
Gambit's not coming back.
I think Gambit's going to... I think we... Look, we talked about it. Absolute points, fixed points, all those are the same. I think all of this is a fixed situation that has to happen. I think, you know, look, are we going to get Onslaught? Probably.
Yeah.
Because I think it's I think officially, that's why
you... Not in this next episode, but...
You don't think in it?
I don't think they would have him appear. Why not?
I think that would be what would be the finale.
That would be the finale.
Because I think...
Like, they defeat Bastion and then, like...
Here's the new... The
immediately.
Big,
and now we're stuck waiting to season two.
Yeah, that's okay. And that's what you would do for, like, writing purposes is you make the end of the season something that makes you so fucking angry that you're like, wait, what? What? That's how The Boys does it every time. Right. They're always like, oh, here's the worst fucking thing that can happen, and we'll pick up in the next season.
Yeah.
There's no point of... We're past the whole, the heroes have to win.
Right.
We're past that point. You have to do something to... If you conclude this story, no story really ever concludes, right? Mm-hmm. It always just bleeds into the next arc.
Right.
And that's what this is. We're watching a live-action comic book. Mm-hmm. You know, it's animation, so, you know, drawing and all that. We're watching, so we're going into our next arc. So where does it end? I think, again, Onslaught, because once he shows up, now it's like, what? Huh? Wait, what? And you just, like, gotta wait now. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they resolve Bastion by the end of the next episode?
Can you, though?
I don't know. Like, if they, can they fully defeat him? Do they...
That's what I mean. Like, can you? Because he's from the future. So, like...
Well, not this Bastion, right? This Bastion was born...
Is born, yes.
The Nimrod that created him was from the future.
So you have to stop all of that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? His line still comes along.
Yeah.
Because it's still... You still are going to get more Sentinels. Sentinels are still around. Mm-hmm. Eventually, Bastion is created because he's downloaded himself. Remember, Master Mold downloaded himself.
Right.
So Bastion is the same thing. It goes back to, if you want to go MCU terms, how Ultron did it. Ultron kept downloading a bit of himself in the thing. So you got... So I don't think it's going to... I think you'll get rid of Bastion more so. What does Sinister do? That's where it really goes. What does Sinister do?
Because Sinister and Bastion don't seem to be on the same... They're working together, but they have different...
Yeah. Goals. Sinister has his own agenda.
Right.
I think it's interesting. I don't know. I don't... I'm more focused on Bastion because I'm like, because the only way to, like, actually defeat him is to take away his power. Mm-hmm. And you guys don't want to do that because Storm is like, don't do that.
Right, don't...
So
don't,
I'm like,
use a neutralizer.
Because I was like, if we have him right now, we have to neutralize him. Like, he's literally can talk to any electronic. So he can do anything. You guys have to kill him. have to find a way to, like, neutralize his powers.
And also, you just brought up a great point, Jess. You're amazing. By the way, everyone should love Jessica Clemens. So much, Jessica.
Love
her. You gotta get your flowers.
Get my flowers.
Get your flowers. Remember, Xavier said he tried to recruit Bastion.
Oh, that's right. Because
Cerebro thought, what did Cerebro think?
He was a mutant.
He was a mutant, but he's not. That's the only reason Storm doesn't know
that he's not.
He's not a mutant.
So once they, like, it's out in the open, do you think Storm's like,
yeah, kill that?
She'll
because
Storm's whole thing is, I don't want mutants having their powers taken away because I've had mine.
Yeah, yeah.
But Bastion isn't a mutant. That's the one advantage. So maybe she's the catalyst, has to put it on him.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. How does, and there's like, I like that Cerebro is like, oh, I thought this was a mutant. Psych, it's not a mutant. Is there still an inkling that he could be a little bit of a mutant? And Cerebro could still be wrong and be like, yeah, he's majority like a robot, but also he does have mutant
DNA. I was wondering if like he was talking to Cerebro more than like Cerebro found him.
That's true.
Maybe not even on purpose. God, like maybe the like sentinel side of him that he wasn't even aware of sensed Cerebro and because he could sense all electronics.
Like,
it was like, ooh, I want to pull Charles over here.
And that could be the one big thing he's trying to get. He could be trying to get Cerebro.
Mm.
That is also, okay, so that is also a thing. So if Magneto does get into, doesn't Magneto just have to get into his mind to control control robots?
To get into Bastion's mind?
Yeah, get into Bastion's.
Like Magneto uses Cerebro to get into Bastion's?
Or use his own power. I mean, he's doing it right now to...
Xavier,
sorry, I said Magneto. Okay. I said Magneto. Yeah, doesn't Xavier, if they just got him like close enough, he could get into Bastion's mind and therefore like turn everything down?
Yeah, I guess in theory he could mind control.
If he could shut down, if he was attempting to shut down Magneto, could he attempt to shut down...
I guess Bastion. The question is, like, how human is Bastion, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because we know that he has his creation here was a little different than the comics.
Right. Yeah.
He just kind of appears in the comics. But like here we know
two humans
did the deed.
One who was infected by the Nimrod.
One was affected with the Nimrod.
Yes.
And then that creates, and then the child that was created is like infected with the Nimrod, right? Mm. But I take it to be there's some organic material there.
There has to be some. So, unless it rewrote the entire DNA
like a nano, of a human. Like a Prime Sentinel, he's been fully rewritten.
But we're missing, I think we keep missing one other little small detail with Bastion. How was the thing that created him was what? The techno-organic virus.
Yeah.
It's an evolved version of that virus that Cable has. So yeah, you're gonna have organics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and maybe I'm wrong, and you all in the comments can back me up,
back him up or tear him down.
Or tear me down. One of the two. Do you? Is Bastion considered Sentinel, mutant, or mutate?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Is he a human that's been mutated?
Right, because basically Sinister is a human mutate.
Yeah.
Bastion isn't technically a mutant.
Xavier's like a Omega Sentinel, right? Prime Sentinels and like Omega Sentinels are very similar. Mm-hmm.
He basically is
a Prime Sentinel.
He's a Prime Sentinel, but of an Omega level.
Right.
So it's like, he's not directly a mutant. I think that's the biggest thing. His whole thing is about, you know, eliminating mutants too, if he got to. Bastion isn't a mutant. That collar can stop him because he's labeled as a technopath, which is considered like a mutant ability.
Yeah, because they use the collar to stop Dark Phoenix, Phoenix is not a mutant, it's a cosmic.
It's an entity.
Right? But the idea of like separating the mind from the power, right?
Right, because you had to separate Jean from it.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
or maybe Madeline. Maybe it was Madeline. We don't know. I think another thing to consider is the Bishop has not shown back up yet, right? Cable told us that like they were separated. When Bishop took baby Cable to the future, they got separated in a time stream and baby Cable shows up without Bishop. So Bishop's out there somewhere. Could Bishop show up and is the solution for Bastion is not like leaving him here, but taking Bastion to a time where they can deal with him?
He still has to get within distance.
Right.
He has to grab close. Him.
Again, I don't want Bishop to come back with this S curl mullet.
Too bad.
You know,
maybe that's a secret.
They put Bishop in the 90s. Bishop got a nice little fade.
He comes back. He's like, you.
You know, the mullets are back in the future. You don't know. This is very trendy in the future.
They asked what was a fade. I told him it's the 90s thing.
No.
Well, besides the threat of Bastion, right, we have Magneto, who is rightfully turned up. Val Kooper said it. Magneto was right. And Cyclops is kind of on Magneto's side a little bit.
Do you think she's Mystique?
No.
Not anymore.
You think that?
No, I think fully, at this point, why she would she stay?
Herself.
Oh, no, you got me. Because Bastion would know if she was a Cyclops.
Bastion did see immediately through Morph.
Yeah, he would know.
Right? He's like, no, he didn't though. He felt the collar.
No, he said Sinister would never be so.
Also, we have Morph, to run.
Now,
that was kind of dumb. You should have thought about
it. That was on Morph. Like, that wasn't just, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't directly Bastion figuring him out. It was Morph being like, we got to do this. Yeah. He was like, hey, bro, you don't realize what's
happening. There's a similar moment in X2 when Mystique is pretending to be Wolverine and brings her in Alkali Lake, and Stryker looks at Wolverine and immediately goes, you think I don't know my own work? Like,
ooh,
he knew it wasn't Wolverine.
Yep.
But there's also, Wolverine's also kind of like looks a little scared, which Wolverine never would be, right?
Yeah, scared.
So it was like, Stryker could suss it out right away. But I think this is very similar, where it's like, Bastion's smart, and he knows like, Sinister would never act like
that. But Mystique is playing a government official.
I don't think she's.
I think she would have. I think she would have shown herself now. But she's now strapped up, about to get stabbed.
My two biggest, like, where are they? Is like, Bishop, where's Bishop? Because he's already been on the show. Where is he? Yeah, where the fuck is Mystique? Because Mystique is all up in this shit all the time.
And you think maybe that's why she was the one to release Eric. Maybe she find, because again, she released him. We don't see the whole conversation they have. And everything.
I don't know.
Maybe she tells him. Maybe she says something and just changes her eyes.
Yeah, I don't know, because that conversation they were having in the last episode, Val Kooper and Magneto, did sound like it was about to be like, "Why did you do this?" You know, I thought we were, you know, but that never came, and I was like, I don't know. But Magneto. Speaking of Magneto, can he be stopped? He's all powered up, right? He's angry. He's ripped the adamantium out of Wolverine. He's kind of like, you know, crossed the Rubicon in a way. He's past his point of no return. Earth's pissed. Everyone's mad at him. The Earth is about to die. What's going to stop him, right? We had President Kelly mention the Magneto protocols, which in the comics that this kind of arc is taken from the Fatal Attraction comics. The Magneto protocols are like all these satellites in space that can be linked together and activated to kind of shut down Magneto's magnetic powers. And in the comics, Magneto finds out about this and he releases a magnetic pulse to like devastate the Earth. Kind of what we saw, just kind of happening in a different order in this show. Do we think that like those Magneto protocols could work and that's how they kind of stop Magneto?
Now it seems like they can't because the satellites should be down, right?
I would think
I guess
at this
unless
point,
they're out of range.
Well, if I think I believe in the comic, Magneto's outside the range of the satellites when he's off Earth, so he was able to do that.
And also, he only did it from the North Pole.
Yeah.
So he was on Earth. So if the satellites are already up, that's the thing too. Like maybe, you know, Charles thinks the satellites are a failsafe, right? And they're still like docked wherever.
And we're guessing it's satellites.
We're guessing.
In the comics, the Magneto Protocol is satellites. It could be something different.
Watch
in
it
show.
Be just a file that just says Onslaught. And it's just, it's like, hey, you're supposed to go into his mind and go crazy. I also, well, clearly a surprise attack gets him every time. You just gotta surprise,
you gotta surprise
him.
Magneto.
You gotta surprise him or get three Sentinels combined to be the master mold and attack him. But also, I think it's gonna end up being Rogue and Xavier having to convince him. Once, like, after he gets stabbed, Rogue's gonna be really sad, but he's gonna be fine. And then she's gonna see all that, like, what happened to Wolverine and be like, Eric, we can't
this
do
this. Yeah, this is too
far. And he's gonna be like, I should have listened to you, honey.
Yeah, I think they can work together to do it. I mean, I'm real disappointed in Xavier in this episode.
Yeah.
He shows back up on Earth. Okay, he's in space. He's a fucking emperor regent. You know, he's not a true emperor. He's the consort or the regent or whatever. He's walking, he's got metal legs, he's got gardens. Yeah, the horse people are being mistreated, but it's fine, whatever. The horse people. He's having a good time. He sees what's happening on, he sees Genosha. He gets a psychic blast about Genosha. Giant dead Remy. He shows back up on Earth. He calls the X-Men. To me, my X-Men. Goes to sleep. Wakes up. All the X-Men are there. And he's got no plan. He has no plan.
And then he reaches out for a handshake. He's like, I'm here now.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what?
Where the fuck were you, dude?
Where were you? Also, he was like, and then he immediately was like, I wanted you guys, the first episode, I don't think people remember all the way back to the first episode. They question why the hell they would give this to Magneto, or the second episode, why they gave this to Magneto in the first place. And we all came up with different theories.
Yeah, yeah.
We were like, oh, it's because of this. It was simply just, because I wanted you guys to get away, and I trust my friend.
He said, you get to live a life.
He said, that's not your choice.
I'm going to live a life when Genosha's going on. Like, I'm not going to step up.
I'd have been back here no matter what.
Xavier was an idiot, man.
Xavier, every episode that we've seen Xavier so far, I have been displeased.
Yes.
I was like, your actions are not helpful. You as someone that's like, you can literally feel people's feelings, see it, and you're acting like, just... like, you did nothing.
He thought he was going to talk
like,
Eric out of all of this.
Yeah, dude.
Hey, bro, that man passed talking. Yeah. Hey, man, Magnus is like, hey, again, shut up, Charles.
He was on Genosha. He was holding Leech as he gets blasted away. Which, we didn't talk about how Magneto survived that, but... But he saw Leech get... You know, he's, like, trying to protect people. He was doing good deeds. He was putting up Ferris wheels. He's wearing a big M on his chest. He's got his guns out. He's trying to be a good man. Mm. It doesn't work. And he's like, these humans ain't going to listen.
So, If I'm Charles, I'm like, hey, bro, listen, I'm just here in the background. Well, let me know if y'all need to find a meeting.
Basically.
Yeah.
I'm just here.
And then,
I was just really, he didn't have a good plan, I think.
He don't have one.
And he said, all we have to do is protect the humans. And I'm like, the people that are chasing me in the street right now?
Yeah.
You've been on a planet getting married, walking, having fun. We were getting murdered.
My wife was swapped out at some point.
Yeah.
I banged another chick who looked just like her, had a kid
with her. Fell in love with her.
Now my wife's mad because I'm in my mind having an affair with these other, you know, Charles, you really fucked things up, dude.
You could have got into her mind and distracted her while I was sleeping with the other one.
Just have a mind conversation with her or something like that.
trying to get mind laid.
Trying to get mind laid out here. Yeah, I'm just real disappointed in Charles.
No,
I mean, I don't think he, again, his only plan was talk Eric down.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you see, like he told Scott, well, I guess I got to get in his head. He was reluctant to do it.
Yeah.
And then, because even Wolverine was like, yo, I got to kill him, right? We got to kill him. That's it. Plain and simple. And if Rogue didn't stop him initially, she was like, you're playing to kill.
Everything Charles wrought, it leads to this episode where you have mutants fighting mutants.
Everything is Charles' fault.
You have X-Men fighting X-Men, dude. Like, you already have Roberto.
Again, you have a dude who
just Jubilee fighting each other.
How did he become an X? Hey, listen, somebody need to tell us how did Sunspot become an X-Men? Bro got kidnapped. How did he get out?
Well, because they were kidnapped and then the pulse happened and they got away.
Okay, because I was like, okay, you know, but then he got a suit.
Which I think that was fine to skip over that.
That's fine. Then he got a suit.
Well, they need bodies. I mean, at this point, they just need bodies.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's bodies laying everywhere.
They need alive bodies.
They did, and Kurt came back and we're all good now.
Yeah, yeah. Here's another question for you. Jean's totally going to come back as the Phoenix, right? Like, come on. They have teased the Phoenix. I feel like every episode has teased the Phoenix in different ways.
So much so that
they show it in the opening for the last few
episodes. Maybe she's not dead. Maybe the moment she thinks she's about to die,
right?
She turns
into the Phoenix.
No, 100%. I agree. Also because you already killed Madeline in like a way that was just a blast. You can't also kill Jean with another blast. It just feels repetitive. So I was like, yeah, she definitely is going to become the Phoenix Force.
Well, maybe that's the key, right? So the Phoenix in the show, the animated series, has been like kind of killed off. On the moon, it kind of sacrificed itself and blah, blah. But the Phoenix is a cosmic entity. It can't die all the way. I wonder if the death of Jean and Madeline creates, like, rebirths the Phoenix.
It's a small spark.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's like, we see the giant entity known as the Phoenix go into the sun, remember? At that
right,
point?
Right.
But there's this small bit that's still within Jean.
Yeah.
That again is like, I feel it.
Yeah.
And that's what reunites it.
Okay. Kind of, I think like having Madeline already dead and now killing Jean, like, boom, brings them back.
Sparks.
I mean, Storm even said Phoenix. We had the phrase uttered. Like,
do you want Phoenix to be the savior of this all?
I think that's a great question, Jay. I don't want things rewritten. I would really like for the actions of this show to stick, at least through the next season.
Yeah.
If you want to rewrite it, that's fine when you're done with this show. If you want to kind of do what the Fox X-Men movies did with Days of Future Past and be like, we're going to fix everything. We're going to make it all good. Yeah. Do that at the end of this series. But I really like the risks they're taking, the empathy they're pulling out of people, like taking some of our favorite characters and like devastating them and not just killing them, but like ruining their lives, putting them in these dark places. Like, It holds a lot of weight, and I think if you take it away too soon, it will feel cheap. There's the joke in comics, no one ever dies forever. Only Uncle Ben.
Right.
Only Uncle Ben.
Only Uncle Ben and Gwen Stacy, right? Are they the only two that stay? No, Gwen's always come back.
Gwen's only
Uncle
always
Ben.
Here.
Yeah, but they die.
Uncle Ben,
one other.
Uncle Ben has to die.
Oh, okay.
But anyways.
So does Gwen. No, I'm
you kidding. Know, people die all the time in comics and come back multiple times. It's old hat. But this is like powerful stuff.
Yeah.
And I think if you undo it by the end of this season, it would feel cheap. Save it. If you're going to use the Phoenix to rewrite the timeline or something, save that for the end.
I'm not even talking about
I think Phoenix coming up now to help defeat Bastion.
That's what I mean. I'm not talking about Phoenix rewriting time and history. I'm talking about Phoenix being the savior to defeat Bastion.
I'm fine with that.
I think she will be the one to defeat, I don't know if she will, but I could see it being her defeating Bastion, but not Magneto. Especially because she's all the way over there and they're over here. So I think it's like, oh, she defeats Bastion, great, but we still have the pressure of Onslaught over here. Mm. And that's a bigger thing.
That's play the black to season two.
I also like the idea of the Phoenix rebirthing Jean. And this time Jean being like, I'm not separating from the Phoenix ever again. You know what I mean? Like,
I embrace this.
I now have full control.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stay Phoenix.
It's her, me and the Phoenix, we're one.
We're staying one for a while, which happens in the comics.
Yeah, yeah.
They stay together for a while.
Yeah, because they understand. Because
and Scott's kind of like, hey, are we good? And she's like, I'm the Phoenix now. Scott's like, cool.
Can I have some hot sex, though? Like, literally?
I think that's when, isn't that when he has like the mental affair with Emma Frost?
Yes.
Because Jean's Phoenix all the time.
And he's like, I'm kind of horny right now. That's the thing about this comic. There's a lot of horniness in the mutants.
Yeah.
They're like Olympians for the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, shouts out to Los Angeles and Paris. So many condoms given away.
One final question here. Well, do you think in this final episode we will see other heroes in the Marvel Universe kind of intervene here? You know, we've had Captain America show up. We've had, the Hulk as a morph cameo. But like, not at this point, like, it's not just like Genosha was a big deal, but it's still like a mutant problem, if you want to like kind of put it in that pocket of comic fandom. The whole Earth getting like its electronics shut down, right? I think the Avengers would be like, wait, do we need to do something here? Should we get involved? Would you like the Avengers to show up?
I think they're still the cops, so I don't think they're going to, because the president was even like, hey, this is your last fucking
but
chance.
But don't you think at this point the president's gonna be like, get the Avengers? What
no,
are we
I think
here?
They're no. still like keeping. I think the president would immediately be like, the Avengers are the classier versions of these fucking X-Men, and right. These are Plan B, and it's like, no, the X-Men are really the Plan B. Those ones should be Plan A. But I think it's gonna be, if it is anyone, it will just be people that we already seen. So it would be Bishop showing back up randomly. Mm, okay. I think it would be like X-Men people that are showing up randomly, or people that we thought were dead in Genosha that weren't, like Emma Frost coming back and being like, hey, I'm here to do something.
She's got her diamond.
Yeah, I was like, as a diamond.
You want this, this is season one.
Yeah.
So this has to be about the X-Men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like season two and three and four, you can start introducing the Avengers, the Guardians, sure. all the other people. I think this out the gate has to be just solely about just the X-Men. And, you know, Bishop, like you said, coming back. Maybe he brings his sister Shard back. Mm. You got Forge. Maybe you see X-Factor.
Okay.
You know, because maybe Havoc shows up.
Yeah.
Different things like that. But I think the core is mutants. And yeah. it's mutants and it's the X-Men and people who've been members of the X-Men at their core. You're like, yes, I know some members of the Avengers are mutants, mutates, have been part of X-Men and vice versa, X-Men Avengers. But I think it's just at its core the X-Men. I don't think you see nobody as far as like the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
You know.
It would be fun if like, you know, all these other mutants are showing up.
Alpha Flight.
No, I think Alpha Flight showing up is fine. There's some mutants in Alpha Flight.
I don't think nobody wants to see
Alpha Flight. I want
to
see Alpha Flight.
Who wants to see Alpha Flight?
Me. having them show up, you have a bunch of mutants show up, and then like the Avengers are like, yeah, we're here too. And the mutants are just like, get out of here. Magneto just throws them to the side or something like that.
Captain America with this shield, bro, you gonna throw a metal shield at me? Yeah. Okay, dummy.
Yeah.
And just fling them all.
Yeah, yeah. Just fling them all.
Thor's like, you shoot metal arrows?
I got glass arrows now.
Here come Tony Stark. Look here, Iron Man.
Make it out of aluminum. Aluminum's not... magnetic.
But he'll find the copper wire. He'll figure out something. Because remember, sure. Magneto's powers are so strong, even the smallest bit of metal anywhere,
right.
he can manipulate.
Yeah. Well, we've only got one more episode left of X-Men 97 Season 1. So this is our penultimate student of the week. They grow up so fast. I mean, there has been zero school this season of the show. And now the whole school is destroyed. So we'll never see it. But we're still keeping with this gimmick right now. Who is your student of the week this week? I think we got a lot of good candidates.
Hey,
I'd like to hear.
I like to go to a quote in the movie Deadpool.
Okay.
You know, what's so cool about being an X-Men? The classic suit of the house that blows up every few years. House blowing up Bill's character.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And it's always rebuilt. Yeah. So,
and it will always be rebuilt.
That's the thing.
You got to keep the local contractors of Westchester busy.
Man, can you imagine the contractors?
They're like,
whoa,
I just
back
did
in
it.
The house I'm again, like, man. Whoa, that's a big hole there. Ugh.
Also, you're like the insurance, and you're also like, I'm getting paid right now. I'm getting paid on
first
front,
of all, I want front. Cash up front. I can get up this done front. In 2 weeks. No problem.
Here's my question, though. What insurance company insures
the X Mansion?
No, yeah.
not. There's no not. Insurance.
Or it would just be the highest rate. I'd be like, okay, this is how much you guys earn pay me a month.
Like, it's a school. Okay. So why is the school constantly blowing up?
Excuse me. Why is your school
blowing up? What kind of class are you teaching here in this danger room, even? I don't think I should be building this. You're not zoned to have a danger room.
What are you, a plumber?
I'm a contractor. I'm a general
that's
contractor.
Another thing too,
you go, ooh, that's
you gotta love it. Listen, I'm gonna get you recess lighting.
This is how you know Charles Xavier ain't shit. Every contractor that has to rebuild the mansion or build everything, he has to wipe their
brains. Oh, he's gotta wipe their minds.
He's gotta wipe their brains out.
That's actually smart. Yeah,
and then they go, oh, this must be not the place I'm supposed to be.
Haven't
and then
I
he goes to the
before?
Next place.
Wait, you wanna I think I've built a danger room before.
Like everybody who's built, like, cause you have the guy, like Beast is helping a bit, but he's getting actual contractors and people to come in and do this shit.
Damn.
And so now there's listen, goddammit, you build in the cartoon, there is a opening in the side of a cliff that has a airplane ramp, okay?
Cyclops could build that with his, like, he could blast out the cliff.
They're not using the students to build it. And it feels like it'd be easier to just use the students.
All right, well, who's your
student
of the week?
My student of the week is probably the oldest person, and it is Magneto.
Oh, baby.
It was horrible to watch him do it, but it was also really cool to watch him do it.
Magneto is right.
Magneto's right.
And, like,
we're kind of bad.
He tried it. He tried to walk Charles' path, and the people didn't allow it, you know?
What was it, episode one or two? Don't make me let you down.
Episode two, don't let me let you down.
Okay, Magneto. Jay, who's your student of the week this week? A lot of good choices.
There's a lot of them.
As much as I want to go Magneto because I'm a villain person, villains were right.
Yeah.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Damn, yeah. He did it. And he took it. He took the plunge.
He was like, hey, bro, this is what I've been. He's like, yo, this needs to be done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that line, the brave always die first. Yeah.
He respected Magneto.
He respected
what
him.
He was doing. He knows Magneto's right.
He gets it.
This isn't.
Look, Wolverine's had to deal with the Friends of Humanity on numerous levels. He understands. Now, granted, this next part of what about to be his life is so terrible.
Yeah.
But it's crazy thing too, real quick. It's actually, I know it hurts him a lot, but it actually benefits him to not have it anymore.
Because it poisons
him. It poisons him.
But the bone claws aren't as
strong as they're the
You gotta just remember that those
blades are different.
It's gonna be so gross.
I think my student of the week this week, I mean, yeah, big ups to Magneto, big ups to Wolverine. Jean Grey killed it this week, man. She really went hard. I really respected it. And she went toe-to-toe with Mr. Sinister, throwing them bowling balls, letting her fake son kill her. Like, brutal stuff. But, like, very powerful this week. I love to see it.
We got three different choices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this is a showcase.
It was like there's a lot of people to choose from. Yeah. I could have chosen Mr. Sinister. Keep going.
I mean, Sinister's doing a good job. Well, that's it for this episode of The Break Room. Be sure to subscribe to The Break Room channel right here on YouTube. And give us a follow on Twitch where we do these videos live sometimes. Jay, where can the folks catch you on social media?
You can find me at Instagram and TikTok, Mr. J Washington, MRJAY. You should know how to spell Washington. Do that. And on my YouTube channel as well, because I'm doing a lot of reviews, reactions, stuff.
Okay.
So we're trying to get to 10K. We had almost 9,500. So,
oh, hell
so
yeah.
That's
all right. Jessica, where can they find you online?
At Xavier Ghost.
Xavier was wrong?
Yeah, Xavier was wrong. Go find me on X at Xavier was wrong. Go find me at Xavier, where the fuck were you? Where were you when we
needed you? Where were you, Charles?
Where were you, Charles?
He was like, I was getting married.
We're going to have a lingering questions episode tomorrow on the Break Room channel, so be sure to check that out. We'll probably do it live on Twitch. So, yeah, follow us on Twitch. You want to be in the chat, getting some of your questions. And be sure to tune in next week for the final episode of the X-Men 97 After Show. I cannot wait to see how this season is going to end. It's crazy. Follow at Break Room NR on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads. We'll catch you next time. Later, Gators.
Later, Gators.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Break Room live streams at Break Room NR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. You can find us at Break Room NR on Instagram and X. Thanks for listening. Later, Gators.